you ready? Another episode of Midnight Musings podcast. We have a very special guest with us tonight. Kaylee, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Who are you? What are you doing here?
Well, my name is Kaylee. I live in Las Vegas, and I'm a mom of three, and I also do modeling and acting.
So multi-talented. Why are you here? What are you doing here? What are we going to even talk about? Because like last episode, I had this guy talk about aliens and we just went off. So I don't know. Yeah. What are we going to talk about?
I think we're going to talk about just life, dating, the 21st century.
With your soothing events. Voice. So yeah. So if you guys are listening to this, like Kaylee's just going to soothe you guys and we're just going to talk about dating. And if you're listening to this and you don't have a significant other, well, still enjoy. This is for everyone. So yeah, let's cover some interesting subjects here. What's it like? I mean, obviously, you know, you live in the 21st century.
Yeah.
What is dating like, or what has it been like?
Horrible. I'm going to be honest. I feel like all of my friends that are single and actively looking are having the hardest time.
Yeah.
And I think it's online dating. I think it's the apps and like how available everything has been. Like, I don't know.
It makes it a little too easy. Like, you know, I don't like to romanticize other decades though, because they also have their major flaws. Like, it's funny to me when everyone says, oh yeah, I wish everything was like the 50s. I'm like, no you don't. Like, I'm pretty sure if you're a wife, you don't want to get like pimp slapped around because you did the meatloaf wrong or something. So it's like, 50s is not as romantic as it appears to be, but there was this type of aspect that was kind of interesting. It's like, you kind of have to like hunt for your significant other. There weren't just like thousands of available profiles available.
Yeah, and I feel like we've fallen into like, I don't know, just like an era where it's like, oh, she's not cute enough. She's like, like you want to like build a bear, but your girlfriend.
Right.
So it's like everyone's looking for like the perfect look and it's not necessarily like the personality and the spark.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like back in the day, people just knew each other more. Like, we're not texting, we're not looking at photos constantly, like, you're talking more. Even in the early 2000s,
like,
you had conversations with people more, and you were, you know, most of the time when they dated, it was, like, people that you met at work or school, like, people who knew you.
Phone exchange was so cute, too. Remember, like, when you were, like, in high school or whatever, like, if you wanted someone's number, even if it was, like, a house phone number, you would still, like, write it down on a piece of paper, and it's like, hey, you want my number? Here's my number or something. And it's like, I don't know. It felt so different. Now it's like,
it felt like a big deal.
Right? Oh, you gave him your number?
Yeah. Did you give him your number? Like, it's such a big deal. And then also, like, I don't know, everyone in the house knew that you were on the phone.
Right.
So you couldn't, like right now, like, I'm hanging out with people and they're like, oh, I'm texting like three or four guys right now.
Right.
It just lost its like appeal, I think.
It's because it's not, you know, at least one of the reasons, like, it's not localized anymore. Like, nowadays, like, if you want to text some, you know, rich guy that's in, like, Dubai or whatever, and, you know, and he's like, hey, you know, I can give you a much better life. Like, a typical person having that kind of dating opportunity is like, do I really want to give that super nice guy down the road a chance? He could be better for me, but this other guy's wealthy, so it's like in that same sense. It's like, I don't know.
I think that if she chooses to go with the wealthy guy, then that was the goal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like women are very aware of what they're doing and what they're looking for. If I was looking for a nice guy, I'd go with the nice guy. But if I was looking for a wealthy guy, I'd go with the wealthy guy.
But don't you think it messes up, like, I don't know, people's localized like experience? Like, yeah, like, I mean, I guess the inverse could apply too. Like, if a guy wants to message like some hot model from, like, I don't know, Russia or whatever, and he's like, yeah, I want to go for that babe. But it's like, what happened to people actually trying to interact with, like, within their normal sphere of influence? Like, you used to get referrals and be like, hey, I think such and such is really nice. Now it's like, I don't care what anyone has to say.
Which,
like,
might,
I just
have
want to
been
find my
safer actually, because you know, someone said they weren't a serial killer.
Yeah, you know, cross off a couple checklists. Okay, yeah, my friend knows them. I don't know.
I feel like what you're referring to is more so like when people date very transactional.
Mm.
So like the guy's looking for beauty.
Right.
The girl's looking for money. It's very transactional dating, which that's always been a thing.
Totally.
I mean, it's the oldest.
I mean, literally transaction.
You can have is
I'll trade you 3 cows for your first daughter.
Yeah, that's always been a thing. But I think that, you know, finding a partner just to go through life with is different. And you date with that intention. And when you date with that intention, it's going to open up different doors. But I do think that the online dating is a little toxic because you're looking at their face and their stats. Almost like you're building like a football team. Like you're like, how tall are you? How old are you? How much do you make? What's your face look like? Whereas, you know, if you knew the guy, if you worked with him, if you went to school with him or a friend vouched or, you know, something happened where you have a conversation first, like you would overlook things because you love that person. And there's deal breakers. Like I don't think I could ever go out with someone with bad hygiene. Ever. That's a deal breaker for
me. Okay, so since it's Midnight Musings podcast and we want to get like juicy, how do we even define bad hygiene? Go off with some offenders. Like if you're listening to this right now and you have bad hygiene, you better listen up.
Yeah, bad hygiene. I've gone out with guys where, and I want to say that the complete opposite's true. The opposite's happened 100 times, but I've gone out with guys where you hug them.
Yeah.
And you're like, hi, I'm so happy that you were able to make it.
Right.
And like, you just smell and you're like, maybe we shouldn't have gone out. Like, I wish I was at home now.
Ooh, right in the spot. Like,
I think,
start all over.
Like teeth, brush your teeth, floss your teeth, like mouthwash.
Just got off of just eating a nice hunk of meat.
Well, I keep a little mouthwash in my purse. So smart. It's like, you know, just spit in the parking lot, like before you come in, like something. And I think, like, it also shows a lack of effort, a lack of interest. I like effort.
Right.
So when a guy, like, one of my favorite guys I've ever dated, we met through work. And when he came to pick me up for a date, like, he was different. He had a different cologne on. He, like, made sure to, like, dress nicer. Like, he smelled really good. And, like, his hair was done where he never did his hair for work. So I felt like, wow, like, he put in that effort.
Like, it was actually an occasion. It wasn't just, like, some happenstance. Oh, I'm bored. Hey, you want to go out? It's like, no. Like, he's thinking about it.
Yeah. And I feel like that effort is, like, what every girl's really looking for.
Right.
And that lack of hygiene just comes off as lack of effort. Like,
right.
Especially, like, oh, when they smell like manure.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I wasn't worth washing your ass for. Like, come on. Like, I'm at least worth a shower.
Right.
Like,
okay, and so this is what I'm curious at. Like, do you find that those guys with poor hygiene, are they the ones that are trying to get most action too? Is it like that?
Or? I feel like, and this is my experience, the men that have had bad hygiene, that have asked me out and I've gone out with them to dinner or, you know, a movie, whatever it was, that lack of effort was all over. The hygiene was like the tip of the iceberg. But when you're talking to them, they're like, yeah, and I'm meeting my friends after this. So we gotta go straight.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I gotta go drop you off. Like, we're meeting my friends after. And it was also like, I didn't get that text back. Or like, because I don't do this anymore for safety reasons. But when I was younger and everyone knew each other, I lived in like a smaller area.
Okay.
Like, they would pick me up from my house and drop me off at my house. And like, the guys that don't even wait to see if you're in the door.
Yeah.
Like, they just skirt down the street and you're like, I'm not even in the house
yet. It's like fundamentals, guys. Yeah. Like, first of all, like, haven't you seen any kind of romantic movie? Listen, I'm not even a rom-com fan. I really am. I really am not. Like, I don't really watch those kind of movies. But it's like, it's like, come on. Like, don't you understand some principles here? It's a concern about safety.
That lack of effort. And I've seen it from girls, too, because I'm bisexual and I've dated women. And when I invite a girl out and, you know, I've had a girl show up and, like, her hair's in a messy pony, no makeup, like, in her whatever she slept in. And she's, like, and I think, was it a bowling alley date? It was something where it was like jeans would have been okay, but like, you should probably look okay.
Like the jeans that you like to go out in, not the jeans that are used for like house repair or something.
Yeah. And and I was like, I'm much more forgiving with women than men.
Okay.
So I did not judge her off that. I was like, you know, we all have our days. In my head, I was like, but if you were going to be tired, like maybe we should have rescheduled because I did want it to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But that lack of effort, it transcended into her whole persona around me.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm going to go get a drink. And I'm like, oh, can you grab me? And she's already gone. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's like, hey, do you want to get together again? And she's like, I can't, I'm busy. And I'm like, I didn't say when. Like, if you're not interested, just don't be interested. But don't string people along when you're not interested. And I feel like when someone isn't putting in the effort in their appearance around you, it's because they don't feel you're worth the effort.
Right.
And they're going to treat you as such.
And it's interesting, you know, about like not bothering to tell people if they're interested or not.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's this type of fear of confrontation, even though there wouldn't be any confrontation. Honestly, if you were direct. And it's like people are like, I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm just going to ghost them. Like, you do realize that causes much more damage to someone in just not hearing anything than just saying, you know what, I don't think it's going to work out. Hey, we can be friends. Sounds a lot easier. I don't know.
I feel like it's that you're not the dream girl.
Okay.
But they're kind of hoping that you're the right now girl. Mm. And then they'll put you on the back burner when they meet someone they actually care about.
Interesting.
It's mean, but I think that's what's going on. Because, like, and this is when I was still dating. But back then, when I stopped talking to a guy, one particular that's coming to mind with the bad hygiene. But he would, like, keep me on the string. Like, he would give me, like, a little good morning text, a little poke.
Right.
How are you, stranger? Oh, my gosh. Hey, big head.
Facebook poke.
Yeah, like, he would do some little thing
to
just be like, I want to still be in your life, but I want to put in zero effort. Right. But I want to keep the door open in case, like, we could have sex one day.
Right.
Like, that's what I kind of read it as, so I completely just, like, blocked him and just ended it. And then the girl as well. Like, I feel like she was like, you know, do you want to get food? Do you want to hang out? And it was always, like, late at night. And I'm kind of like,
like, come on, booty call time. We already know how it is.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of booty calls.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of hookup culture. So I was just, I just cut those people out. So now if I were to go on a date and the person, oops, bad hygiene, I'm seeing that as a red flag, like, right away, because of my experiences. Like, and if people are like, because I did have this conversation with a girlfriend of mine, and she was arguing,
okay,
well, what if he just came from work? And I'm like, well, then reschedule where you have time, and I just want that effort.
Right.
Like, you need to act like I'm someone that you want to impress.
Right. And I think it's, and it comes down to this too. Like, when people say, like, I'm always busy. Like, that is you showing to the world that you're in chaos right now. You have no control over your life. So, like, if you do come across and you get busy, it's like, well, just state the fact. Hey, you know what? I'm having a little bit of trouble here, but you're super important to me. I would love to, like, let me do this date right. Let me do it the perfect time. And, you know, can we reschedule? And then it's as easy as that. But if you just try to, like, mosey on by, hey, like, you want to go out or whatever? It's like you can't maybe your way through
don't
everything.
Don't text me at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Don't, if it's after 5, don't make plans with me anymore.
And guys, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a little bit on the younger side, like, I understand, okay? I get it. Okay, like, don't worry. I've been through my fair share of, like, hookups and all this kind of stuff. But growing up in Vegas, like, hookup culture is very intense, and it's not healthy whatsoever, you know, but you have to learn from your mistakes. You can't be like high school, you know, college hookup guy forever. Sooner or later, you have to grow up and actually, you know, enjoy the finer things in life. So yeah, there's your little message. Okay. You get a hall pass like once, and then afterwards it's like,
you get one hoe face.
Yeah, exactly. Step up your game now. Come on now. But, okay, so we've talked about bad hygiene, red flag. Can you tell me about some other red flags?
Oh, could I?
Yes, story time, please.
If everyone they've ever dated is crazy.
Ooh, how crazy?
When they tell you, like, this one ex keyed my car, this other ex, she went insane and, like, would show up at my house at all hours, and this other ex, and I'm like, it's weird that they're all crazy, but you're not.
Right. It's like, ooh, the level of coincidence here. I don't know if that's a coincidence. Are you the problem? Who knows? So if this story is exciting to you, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about some red flags. So, Kaylee, please don't leave us hanging. What should we watch out for?
Well, I think the first one was bad hygiene.
Right.
The second one was when all of their exes are crazy.
Right.
Everyone around them is crazy.
Everyone's the problem except you. Yeah. Huh, interesting.
And also, I think, like, pulling that victim card, it kind of falls under that.
Right, very similar, yeah.
But when they're very much so, like, poor me, help me, save me. And
right.
You're just like, well, who are you?
Yeah.
That's a red flag because it could be a manipulation tactic. Like, I want you to feel sorry for me.
Right.
I mean, I feel like everyone knows, like, the basic ones, like demanding your body and sex and nudes and things like that. That's a red flag.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, it comes as, like, basic as something as, like, you know, like, when people think, like, manipulation, a lot of times they think of, like, oh, it's some crazy story, some crazy lie to, like, fool me into things. Like, sometimes it's just...
It's subtle.
It's really subtle. I mean, body language is a powerful thing. It's that certain look you give someone. It can be just as simple as puppy eyes, right? But, like, are you doing it in an endearing way, or are you just doing it because, I don't know, you want to manipulate someone? And so, like... I don't know. Manipulation, I think, is big. And there's, like, so many layers to it.
I feel like whenever you're trying to get someone to do something...
Yeah.
And you're not saying that thing, that's manipulation. Like, if a husband wants a wife to quit their job, and instead of just saying that, they say, you don't really need that job. Who are you talking to anyways?
Right.
Why do you like going there? I hate when you go to work. And they start making your job an obstacle, and then... When you're like, I think I'll quit my job. They're like, that's a great idea, honey.
Right.
And it's like...
It's only a great idea when it agrees with what you're saying.
But that's a manipulation because they were trying to get you to do that the whole time.
Totally.
But they didn't say that out loud.
And, you know, it's interesting because, like, I get it, but sometimes I feel like me, you know, being married for a while now, it's like I fall into critique mode and I'm like, I don't want to be that. You know, I want to try to empathize with people, but it's like communication is... Yeah, I mean, it's not... that hard.
I don't think it's that hard.
I mean, like if you want to, you know, cause like things change in life, right? And you're allowed to have a paradigm shift. You're allowed to like and change in life. But like, if you are now, you know, wanting your significant other to live at home now, like you have to factor that in and you have to factor it in early, you know, be like, hey, listen, you know, I'm kind of feeling a certain way. Like I think maybe because of X, Y, and Z, it would be a good idea. How do you feel about it? Like, that's the key thing.
That's an honest conversation.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would be a healthy way of managing that. But just because personal experience, a lot of my girlfriends, they have great jobs and great careers, and then they get with guys that are insecure.
Right.
And, yes. Also, I think that's what I wanted to get going back. Red flags.
The final
insecurity.
Tier. Yeah.
Insecurity where, you know, if a guy is flirting with you and you say, no, thanks, I have a boyfriend. Yeah. If your boyfriend reacts anger, it's like, whoa there, buddy. where is this coming from? Because I didn't do anything wrong. The guy hitting on me didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know I was taken. So it's like, no one did anything wrong. So why are you mad?
Yeah, you know, and I feel like this is such like locker room talk and, you know, things for guys to like be mindful of too, because I know so many friends, you know, they're still just out there doing their own thing. And like, they're all like, yeah, there's like no good girls for me. Like, it's always like, dude, you're not, I'm sorry, man. You're not the epitome. You're not the perfection of man.
Yeah.
And you have to really look at your imperfections. Like, just because someone is not into you doesn't mean they hate you. Doesn't mean the world is against you. It's, guess what? You guys weren't a mesh for each other. Now check yourself and just how people do, you know, football playbacks and all this stuff. You know, check your interactions. How did she feel when you said a certain thing? You know, facial expression, all these stuff. I feel like a lot of people are like, man, that date sucked. On to the next one. It's like, hold on a second. Let it simmer a little bit, even if it hurts. Like,
also, because I've heard so many men say, there's no good women out there.
Dude, it's hilarious.
I'm always like, are you a good man?
Right.
And like, if so, like, how do you think you're a good man? What about you makes you worthy of the woman that you're looking for? And usually they fall short. Usually they give me promises as examples. They'll be like, well, I'm going to.
Mm.
And I was like, well, what if she's going to, but you're not going to be with her?
Or what if she's already at, you know, what you would call like a more, you know, upgraded stage of her life?
I want a girl in good shape.
Yeah.
I want a girl with her own job, her own hobbies.
Yeah.
I want a girl that takes good care of herself. And I'm like, well, would you date a college student? And most of my friends are 25 to 35.
Okay.
25 to 40 range.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I would never date a college student. And I'm like, funny. Oh, okay, so where are you at in your career? Well, I'm about to start this thing, or I'm about to, I'm going for this raise. And I'm like, okay, but if you wouldn't date a girl that's working towards it, you want her to be there when you meet her.
Yeah.
Why should she be with you and build with you if you're not going to build her?
It's super interesting. You know, and it's funny because I think it happens to a degree. And then when they realize that, oh man, you know, I'm not being able to get these quote unquote high value women. Guess what? It's always funny. They always revert to going younger anyways.
Yeah,
like if they can't find anyone and they're like approaching, you know, past their prime years, they will eventually go to the college girls. And I'm like, dude, like they're definitely not going to want
because
you now.
Because honestly, and here's the thing, the college girls are going to be impressed with a mediocre guy in his 30s, because a mediocre guy in his 30s has more going for him than even a 20-year-old with so much potential.
Of course. You could be, like, freaking killing it. You could be, like, the next, I don't know, whatever, you know, super rich person, next Elon Musk or whatever. But it's, like, obviously you have to start at point A.
Yeah.
And if this dude's point F is, like, somehow a little bit better, you're going to get impressed by him. But it's, like, the other thing, too.
They're better at manipulation.
True. They got experience.
Because when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20, I was dating a lot. I was trying to find the one. I was going out on a lot of dates at the time. And the guys I went out with were sometimes over 30 years old.
Yeah.
And I look back and I just cringe because I'm like, what would you even want with me? Like,
yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing.
They like that because then they can mold you.
I was just a feather in the wind.
Yeah.
And they... Yeah, and they would say, like, I'm going to, like, apprentice you. And it's like, oh, gross,
dude.
Like,
what do you mean by that?
And, you know, I appreciate the guys now that are like, I'm looking for a girl with her own job, her own friends, her own hobbies. And at the same time, when they're like, but she also has to be, like, a 10. She has to be, like, hot. Like, I want her to be so hot. And I go after, like, my friends that are just 10s and beautiful women.
Yeah.
And I'm like... You're 5. Like, I don't know if you know this about yourself, but you're not the match.
Right.
Or, you know, I tried to set a friend up with a friend that I thought would be great.
And he like matchmaker complained. Time. Really?
He was like, she's not that pretty. Like, I thought she was going
to
be prettier.
I had someone do the same thing. I was like, listen, bro, I'm trying to help you out.
And I'm like, listen, she's still too hot for you.
Yeah.
Like...
And even then, you're like, oh, no, I want someone higher up. I'm like, dude, do you assess yourself a little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, because I know, you know, we talked about, like, being, you know, I guess, high value or whatever in this kind of sense. But it's funny because these guys want so many perfect characteristics.
Yeah, just perfection.
Yeah, they want all this perfection, but... their environment doesn't like produce perfection either. They're like, oh yeah, I want like a classy girl, like have all these things and she has to be well-spoken or anything. Dude, then why are you going to a dive bar? Like, first of all, why, okay, as a man, why do you go to the dive bar? Oh, I don't know. I want to have fun. I want to, you know, cut loose and all this kind of stuff. Okay, cool. So haven't you ever thought maybe the girl that's there equally just wants to cut loose? She's not going to be
she's
all dainty mannerisms and all this kind of stuff. So it's like,
she's
you're going to the wrong environment.
What you're looking for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I always feel like men expect to like get like the hottest thing in the world where women...
It's Hollywood, okay? You know, I'll put... That's our little redeeming thing is in Hollywood sometimes we see the goofball, get the gal.
And but, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to cut you off.
Go for it.
Usually, the goofball wrote the movie. I'm thinking of Adam Sandler.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, such an Adam Sandler movie.
Where he always makes himself date the hottest
always
women.
A smoking babes. Always,
not
yeah.
Not realistic.
And like, he doesn't do anything that's, like, super redeeming either. He just continues to be a goofball throughout the whole movie. And it's like, oh, man, she just falls for it. I'm like...
And I love 50 First Dates. I love so many Adam Sandler movies.
That is a classic, yeah.
I remember... Which one was it with... I'm going to kill... Ugh. I can't think of it. Jennifer Aniston, Adam Sandler. He's like a plastic surgeon.
They always
surgeon.
Play together.
Well, he's like a plastic surgeon, and she's the assistant that he like isn't into because she's a mom.
Okay.
And they go to Hawaii.
See, I'm not a huge Adam Sandler movie follower. Oh, yeah,
I love
but Roy is, but she's not here. But yeah.
But in the movie, he has like these two like super hot women interested in him. And I remember that was like the first time that I was like.
And they like fall into his lap. It's a very similar trope. I mean, even like a lot of other different movies that I've seen. Like, like the hot girls just fall into someone's lap. And like as a guy, sometimes we fall into that trap. We're like, oh yeah, like I'm like an emperor or something. Like, dude, no, like, you're not, dude. You work at like totally McDonald's.
Date her.
Yeah.
Like, no, you can't. I think it's the same thing. Like, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it was a shocking statistic where they were asking men, like, do you think you could beat Serena Williams in a tennis match?
Yeah.
And so many men said yes.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I don't think that they properly assess themselves.
You know, and I think that comes with, in one hand, it's a, oh gosh.
I love the confidence, but I hate the cockiness.
Right, exactly, yeah. So confidence is a great thing, guys. And if you believe in yourself, you should. Because, as a man, and I look at the way media starts to treat men or has been treating, and I see it with different eyes, like not as like a victim type of eyes, but just purely as looking at the media itself. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that try to trot down on male confidence. So I'm glad that some of y'all feel super confident, but there's confidence and there's ignorance. Like, don't be a cocky, ignorant guy, you know?
The difference is, though, I feel like confident men don't have to say what they are.
Right.
They tend to, like, back up who they are.
Right.
You know, like, there's a lot of power behind confidence, whereas cockiness is a little more fake.
Yeah, you know, confidence doesn't necessarily have to explain itself either. Yeah. It's like, hello, I have this, I have that, but I don't need to boast it to the world. But, like, some guy that's cocky is, like, outwardly trying to say every single accolade that he's ever got because he's nervous. He's
and
like,
he's bragging, like, about anything and everything. Yeah. Like, have you ever, oh, gosh, because I just went to one not too long ago. I went to a party where it was a bunch of, like, filmmakers and actors.
Okay.
And I was excited to be there.
I think I saw the invite for that, but I didn't go.
Yeah, I was excited to be there. There was a lot of really successful people there, but I was bored out of my mind because everyone that talked to me just
ego fueled,
like everything they've ever done in their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and every celebrity they've ever worked with or knew, and they just looked at me blankly and they're just like, I worked with da, 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 da. I've done da, da, da. I was
sounds
on da, da, da,
right.
da movie, and I'm like, okay, congratulations. And I just said congratulations like 100 times.
Yeah.
And no one asked me a single question. Like, they would ask me, like, would you ever audition? And I was like, yeah. And then they would just, because I wrote the movie. And I'm like, okay.
Ooh, wow.
Wow, amazing. You're incredible.
It kind of reminds me of the guys that have the super loud cars.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just Honda, Nissan, just, dude, you guys are ruining our names as guys. Please, like, I promise, we're not all like this. We're not all obsessed with being noisy and loud and, like, you know, just... Can you just for once just hold that in a little bit? Like, I know you're trying to compensate for something, but like take another hobby. I don't know.
I don't always mind it.
Yeah, you don't always mind it?
I feel like, I don't know. It's kind of flattering and cute occasionally.
Yeah.
As long as they're not in your face or like being too aggressive. I feel like compliments are always going to be compliments. So like just because it happened like 2 days ago. A guy was on a motorcycle at a red light, like, staring at me through the window, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to pretend like I'm not noticing you. But then he, like made it go loud and, like, did a little wheelie. I was like, that was kind of cool.
Okay, yeah.
All right. But, like, that was the end of
that's
it.
The thing.
But he didn't follow me.
But he's trying to appeal to you. He's not trying to, like, just terrorize the whole neighborhood, you know,
because
it's
quick
like,
little thing.
Yeah, a quick little something. Like, okay, yeah, you wanted to shoot his shot. All right, here's what I got. You like it, you don't. Cool.
Yeah. And, you know, he didn't follow me, which is a good sign.
Yeah, that tactic doesn't
freaky.
Work, guys. Yeah,
it's
I don't know
happened
what to tell you.
Too many times, and it just, I carry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you think this is going to end, but.
Yeah. And not Christmas presents, by the way.
What?
Yeah, you said you carry. I'm like, you're not carrying Christmas presents.
No, not Christmas presents.
Locked and loaded. Okay, so I want to end this with a little bit of. I would say hope, but no, let's just go down a completely different road. Yeah, give us
all
like
right.
a horror story. Give us like one of, if not like the worst date you've been on. Because we just got
to
know.
I'm trying to think. I don't want to do anything too depressing.
Okay.
Because I've gone out with like murderers or guys that seem like murderers. You know what? I think the worst one will forever be the guy that took me to such a beautiful restaurant.
Okay.
But he didn't talk all night. So I was just speaking to myself. And he would give me like one word answers. I'm like, what do you do? Do you like your job? How long have you been there? One word. I'm like, one word, one word. And eventually I just found myself kind of talking to myself while he stared at me.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because the restaurant was really expensive. So I just kept talking and I was like, yeah, like I'm kind of addicted to chocolate. I'm trying to lose weight, so I should probably stop. And like, it was just one of those one-off comments that I mentioned. And he was like, you know, hey, do you want to go ahead and order dessert? I said, yeah. Do you want to split this like lava cake with me? And he's like, sure, that sounds great. And it was a San Francisco restaurant, really expensive, really nice, like white glove table. Cool. Like it was so gorgeous. Probably some of the most expensive food I've ever eaten. And they come back with the lava cake and they put it down on the table and he grabs like, I think it was like a steak sauce or it was something that was like ketchup-like, but not ketchup. Okay. And he squirted it all over and smashed the lava cake immediately. And the waitress is still standing there and she's just shocked. And he goes, you can take this now. Like mad.
What?
And I was holding my fork and I was like, Why did you do that?
Gordon Ramsay, where are you? Like, save us. Like, come on, call him a donut or something.
Yeah, and he looks at me, and it was like the first sentence he really said all night. And he was like, I just wanted to show you that I would support in stopping you eating chocolate. I would support you in that. What? I would support your goals. And I'm like, sir.
This guy sounds like a killer. Like, he sounds dangerous.
It freaked me out. I couldn't talk to him again.
Yeah.
And each one of the members of like the back staff, like the cooks and chefs, whoever works in the back, they definitely like came out to peek at us.
Right.
After they saw what we did.
They're like, is there a camera behind here? Is this like a prank?
Well, they were just like, what kind of monster? peeking out because it was.
That was the chef. I'd be upset.
They seemed upset. They just looked confused.
Yeah.
And like, I was just so confused. And then I realized when I read our texts back between that guy, because I was like, is there a sign here that he's crazy?
Right.
And I was reading our conversations back later that night. I realized that I had definitely romanticized him in my head. Because a lot of our texts, I was kind of talking to myself.
Right.
But I just wanted him to be this great guy.
I guess that silence sometimes, you know, it allows the imagination to grow, which is sometimes a good thing. Like, guys, like, if you feel that you overtalk, embrace a little bit of silence.
Yeah.
But not if you're, like, some psychotic guy.
I like to ask questions. That way, like, give them an opportunity to explain themselves and, like, get to know that person. That's why you're on a date. You want to get to know that person. So I love asking a lot of questions. And, you know, a little banter.
Right.
But he literally barely spoke. And then the one time he did, it was horrible. He ruined a lava cake.
Oh, my gosh.
I think about that lava cake a lot.
What kind of demon does that? Okay, so with that being said, I know you guys are so excited to hear even more juicier stories. So stay tuned. We want to have Kaylee on as a guest again. And so, okay, we're going to recap real quick. So red flags to watch out for. Number one was
the bad hygiene / lack of effort. I'm going to put those two together. The second one, I think it was like being the victim or like everyone around them.
Right, victim blaming.
Crazy.
Everyone else is a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Every girl I've ever dated is crazy. And then it's like, oh, you're.
I don't know about that.
Like you might make me crazy.
Right. And then third was confidence.
Yeah, the confidence versus cocky.
Right.
Like you have to kind of sort it out. Is this man confident or is he cocky?
So, guys, with that being said, take a minute before you leave here. I want you to comment down, what are some things that you will work on so that you can have a better date next time? And also, if you have some horrible dating experiences, please, we want to hear all the juicy details. Leave them in the comments, and we'll see you again next time.
Or any red flags that you want to add, just go ahead and comment.
Yes. Alrighty. Peace.